Buy one, get one. Come on down to Crime Alley's Top Surgery Extravaganza. Yes, even you, little Bristol boy. Written by Hobi-Wan and read by K-Verb. This is a Batman fic rated general audiences in which no archive warnings apply. It features the relationships between Tim and his parents and his parents and each other, with additional tags of crack, trans Tim, good parents Jack and Janet. Jack and Janet are good parents, but they're still classist. Sorry. Himbo Jack Drake. Fluff. Tim is a menace. And unhinged Tim. Abbreviated summary. In which Jack and Janet return to find their daughter is actually their son and has taken action. Surprise! As Jack and Janet wait to deboard the plane, Jack forces himself not to fidget. He wishes at times that Janet didn't go through her Save the Planet crisis, because it would be so much easier if they still used the private jet. But alas, here he is, stuck in first class, waiting for the flight attendants to free him from the hell that is a public plane. Janet is doing her best to look cool, too collected to acknowledge Jack's twitchy legs, but he knows she's just as anxious to get off the plane. They haven't seen their daughter Theodosia for a whole year. The emails have been sweet, with regular updates, but the phone calls have been middling. For whatever reason, Theodosia refuses to video call them anymore. Jack suspects she's going through a prolonged acne attack. No matter how much he has tried to hint that acne is normal and dermatologists are godsends, Theodosia hasn't taken the hint. The last time they called, poor Theodosia sounded like she'd come down with a dreadful cold. Jack asked about throat lozenges and cough syrup and natural solutions like honey, but Theodosia just started laughing. Or hacking up phlegm. It was hard to tell with the horrible reception.
Don't worry about it, Theodosia said. I can take care of myself.
Jack doubts that because there is entirely too much of Janet in her. And Janet never takes care of herself. See, every time Janet has prolonged a one-day illness to a week-long affair because she refuses to stay in bed. But soon, they will deboard the plane, and Jack and Janet will descend upon Theodosia with a flurry of hugs and luggage and overlapping suggestions for where to get lunch, and Theodosia will have to put up with two parents who want to look after her health once more. Perhaps one and a half parents, to be fair. Janet has a bad tendency to assume her bad habits are excellent life goals everyone should strive to accomplish. Janet pinches his side. I can tell you're being rude about me with your thoughts, she says. Stop it before I become incredibly rude about you with my mouth. Jack can't help himself from giving her a peck on the lips. Janet, more amused than offended by Jack's supposed rudeness, kisses back. At long last, the flight attendants give people the clear to deboard. Jack snags both Janet's and his carry-ons, and they exit the plane. After the long, arduous task of locating their suitcases on the baggage claim, they head to the pickup lane, where Theodosia awaits with a big, "Welcome home, Mom and Dad. I'm so glad you're still alive." Honestly, that girl. How ridiculous. Janet stops abruptly. Honey, what are you doing? Jack asks, as annoyed people swerve to avoid them. If it weren't his wife, Jack would sympathize with them. He hates when people don't hustle at the airport. He has places to be, cars to fall asleep in, stairs to climb and hallways to walk so he can reach his bed to sleep in. That, Janet pronounces with great precision, contrasting the look of confusion on her face, is not our daughter. Jack looks at Theodosia, then back at Janet, then looks at Theodosia, then back at Janet, then look. Dear Lord, Theodosia has some kind of fake stubble going on. He almost didn't notice. Is she getting into theater? Or perhaps cosplay? Jack used to cosplay in his youth and did many a cross-dressing costume for his favorite characters. But really, doing it at an airport to welcome home one's parents feels quite excessive. Does Theodosia look a bit differently shaped than usual? Like a stick, one might say. A long stick with arms and legs and stubble and incredibly short hair. Hi, Mom. Their daughter, who has possibly turned into a stick, says, waving. Hi, Dad. Can you hurry up and get in the car? The driver and I have been waiting forever. There was a lot of turbulence, Jack says automatically. He keeps walking, Janet clutching his arm, her nails digging through his shirt. The driver helps them load the bags into the trunk, and Theodosia gives them a big hug. As if on autopilot, Janet reciprocates. How was the trip? Theodosia asks as they climb into the back seat. Great, great, Jack says. Honey, this may be a bit of a strange question. Theodosia waits for Jack to ask with admirable patience. Jack can't figure out how to word. What's going on? Why do you look like this? Who are you? Are you even our daughter? Without sounding crazy. But crazy magical things were always happening in Gotham. Suppose their precious daughter got hit by some spell or alien array and emerged looking, well, Jack didn't know where to begin to describe how different she looked. What's going on? Janet demands. Why do you look like this? Who are you? Are you even our daughter? Oh, right. Theodosia scratches her chin absently. I figured this would be confusing. My name's Tim, and I'm your son. Can we go to Batburger? I'm starved. Jack and Janet stare at Tim. I'm still confused, Jack says. And then, oh, horrible epiphany. Could it be that Jack is just a terrible father? Perhaps Tim was always Tim, and Jack somehow got confused and started thinking of him as her. But Janet also talked about Tim as their daughter, Theodosia. Could they have been hit by a spell or alien array, supplanting all memories of their precious, perfect son, Tim, with a precious, perfect daughter, Theodosia? Please forgive us, Jack weeps. We don't deserve to call ourselves your parents. Huh? Tim says, face blank with incomprehension. Timothy, Janet says, as if sounding out the name. That's not my name, Tim says. You know your father and I are allies of the LGBTs, don't you? Janet says. Why, when that man, Bruce Wayne. This, she says with great disgust. Not because of transphobia, but because of her distaste for Bruce Wayne's habit of proposing a threesome with her and Jack, shrugging his shoulders when they politely decline, and immediately forgetting their rejection the next time they meet, upon which he proposes a threesome again. Came out as transgender, many of those in our circle carelessly threw around the wrong name and pronouns, but we remain resolute. After all, it's quite stylish to insult a man and get his gender completely wrong. We love trans people, Jack says. When I was in college, I thought I might be trans, but then I realized I just liked dressing up as Sailor Mercury, and that had nothing to do with transgenderism. Jack, please, Janet says in her, you are getting very off-topic, voice, as if she weren't the one to get them off-topic in the first place. Right. Tim says. That's nice, Dad. So surely you must have known you could have told us, Janet says. Tim shrugs. To be honest, I figured I could, but you never know with parents. Janet's face falls. To Jack's horror, she has a sheen of tears in her eyes. Tears in his wife's eyes. Today, which was supposed to be a good day, is nosediving into a rocky shore. Well, I'm sorry we made you feel that way, she says. It's not just because of you, Tim says hurriedly. It's also because, well, I know this guy, right? And he knows a guy who knows a guy. And one of the guys maybe hooked me up with testosterone. And then one of the guys also maybe does backroom top surgery on the regular and offered to do it for free. It all happened at a much faster rate than it would take to tell you, then tell our doctor, then see a therapist, then wait for a surgeon. So I thought I'd just surprise you and call it good.
Huh?
Jack thinks. Timothy Jackson Drake, Janet shrieks. Are you telling me you let some random man off the black market take a scalpel to your chest? Tim huffs. Okay, it sounds way worse when you put it that way, and Jackson, calling me Timothy is bad enough. What gives you the right to choose my middle name? I am your mother, and you think your father and I couldn't have bribed some doctors and surgeons to fast-track anything you wanted? Honestly, Timothy, it's like you want to catch some horrible disease or end up with a lopsided post-op.
What?
Jack thinks. Oh my God, Tim says, emphasizing each word. Just because you're my mom doesn't mean you can dictate what I name myself. Maybe I want my middle name to be Bruce, after Bruce Wayne. He didn't yell at me for getting gender-affirming care. Hold on, Jack says, feeling rather dazed. Janet hisses. Bruce Wayne knew you got illegal surgery in some random unsanitary crime alley shack. That's kind of classist. Oh, that man. That awful, awful man. I swear, next time I see him, I'm not even going to pretend it's an accident when I spill red wine all over his suit. Mom, Tim cries. You can't. He's the only adult trans man I know. We can fix that easily, Janet retorts. There are plenty of adult trans men in the world, and you don't need that void filled by a man who doesn't remember that Europe isn't a country. You're trans? Jack asks. Janet and Tim turn to stare at him with equally baffled looks on their faces. What did you think we were talking about? Tim asks. Oh, Jack says with great relief, and love? Yes, love. He didn't get the gender of his beloved child embarrassingly confused. His son is trans. His son is trans and felt safe enough to transition while still under their household. Jack hugs him tightly, ignoring his muffled squawks of confusion. I love you, kiddo. I love you so much. Thanks, Tim says. I love you too. With great care and tenderness, Jack pulls back and rests his hands on Tim's shoulders. You are never allowed to talk to Bruce Wayne ever again, he says. Thank you, Jack, Janet says fiercely. You two are ruining my life, Tim shouts. The driver pulls up to the Batburger, and they all exit the car, Tim and Janet arguing with sharp words. Meanwhile, Jack sends a few hurried emails to their doctor. It wouldn't do, after all, for Tim to keep up with his illegal care. They need to make sure everything was okay, despite the crime alley surgery. Jack shudders to think of what problems could be running through Tim's body without him ever even knowing it. Bonus. Resisting the urge to cradle his head in his hands, Bruce looks at Jason, sprawled out in Bruce's office chair like he owns the place.
Did you have to convince Tim to get illegal top surgery? Bruce asks wearily. His parents have been leaving incredibly frosty voicemails for the past few days.
I didn't convince him to do anything, Jason says. I said as a joke that my man Freddy could do the old top chop for him without any of that bureaucratic hassle, and he left it the chance. This is all your influence. Clearly you infected him with crazy. At this, Bruce does lower his head into his hands. His forehead hurts, and it feels like a drill is boring into his temples, and he wishes he could go back to bed. I tried to tell him that if his parents wouldn't pay for it, I would. Bruce says glumly. I tried to be responsible. Jason shrugs, popping a piece of candy in his mouth. This is what you get, old man. No one responsible wears a cape and runs around on rooftops at night. Bruce perks up. So you admit your new career path is highly irresponsible? He asks. Jason sneers at him, holstering both his guns. Don't wear a cape, do I? With that, Jason stalks out of Bruce's office, stealing the entire jar of candy as he goes. Bruce sighs. Well, at least Tim's parents aren't transphobic. The end. Author's notes. Jack, how come you didn't go with Theo? Where did Tim come from? Tim, it's like you don't even know who I am anymore, Dad. :// Like a middling face. You know that one with the forward slash. Anyway, who names themselves Theo? Transmask Theo, who lives in their walls. :/. The crying emoji thing. These author's notes didn't translate as well into audio as I wanted them to, but I really wanted to read them out loud. So I guess this is kind of Podfigure's note now, but I love Obi-Wan because we were talking about my upcoming top surgery. Fentanyl came up because their roommate was given it. And I was like joking around about the hospital, like getting their fentanyl from a guy on the corner because I'm terrified of fentanyl. So I had to make jokes. And then I was like, but that would be Jason giving Tim top surgery. And then 2 hours later, Darren was like, here you go. I love you. And I was like, I love you too. This fic is perfect. And then I recorded it and I'm posting it on the day of my top surgery, either the ass crack of dawn in the morning when I'm going back for surgery or when I wake up or at some point, hopefully on the 17th, I will be posting this. And that is the day of my top surgery, June 17th. So if you listen to my rambling, thanks. Bye.